Welcome, Traveler, to Lofar Tales Episode 2. These are short horror stories set in the world of Hallowtide. Content may not be appropriate for all audiences, and listener discretion is advised. Tonight we sail from the familiar waters of the Aldstrand to the memory-haunted shores of the Idlewind Isles for Cassandra's Footsteps, written by Christopher Bungie and performed by Kelly Rhodes.
The two of us were only just finishing breakfast when the first visitor in a week arrived. A ship hand with faded tattoos and more scars than a man his age had any right to. He gave me that awkward nod that men like him tended to give, which said that he had no words for me and would be off as soon as he told his story. It was only fair. I didn't have any words for him either. It had been a tough morning, and Grandfather had more porridge down the front of his gray beard than had actually made it inside. I had the man wait on the porch while I finished cleaning up Grandfather's face and wrapping another blanket around his shoulders. It was getting colder now, and Grandfather had been losing pounds by the week. Sometimes I had nightmares that a stray breeze would sneak into the window and carry him off with it. I opened the door for the man and silently ushered him inside. He nodded his head another half dozen times, but still, not a word for me. Elko Brule of the Twilight, I have traveled 2 days to see you. I know from Sane that you are following Cassandra now, and I feel it is every Idlewinder's duty to bring back what memories we can for you. He began, taking off the flimsy little cloth cap he wore. My name is Nod of the Broken Blade. I know it has been years since our two ships shared a flag, but they still talk of you, especially Captain Garrett. He isn't one to get sentimental or throw words around, save maybe curses. Nod gave a nervous little laugh. Grandfather blinked twice. Well, he said that you were a hero, a proper one, a hero from the liberation of Fallen Dove. That is why I think I have something of yours. The man pulled over a seat and sat himself within arm's reach of Elko. Leaning forward, he continued in an earnest whisper. I know it isn't one of mine, because I ain't ever seen more than a handful of the risers myself, and then from a distance as I get far away as I can. I'm not a hero, Captain, but I got this memory stuck in my head that has been keeping me awake for weeks now. I see dozens of them. Dead ones, you know, just coming out of the water, one after another, in a wave that doesn't seem to end. There's a burning ship behind them, and if I concentrate, I remember the name. Lost Dog. Grandfather whispered so faintly I almost missed it. Yes! Yes! Nod jumped to his feet. It is one of yours, then. I told the captain, and he said I was mad. Said there is no way that Cassandra would see fit to kiss me with something from Elko Brule's head, but here I am. Easy now. I reached forward and grabbed the man by the shoulders before he knocked Grandfather over in his excitement. Oh, sorry, miss. Didn't mean no harm. He continued on for almost another hour, but those two words were the most he got from my grandfather. Didn't have much hair for a braid himself, and his clumsy fingers tied Elko's hair into knots. Still, they were connected now, sharing something deeper than even the blood that bonded us. I swear the ship hand almost skipped his way out of the cabin when he was done. Looking back, I saw the ugly, thick braid he had left in my grandfather's hair, and a little part of me wanted to pull it out. Instead, I busied myself clearing out the dishes and carrying him over to the comfy chair by the window that he had preferred. When I was younger, I would push him into the chair every night while he made a big show of not wanting to go. It was me bending my full weight against his powerful legs while shouting, "Story time!" over and over again. He had a laugh that shook like a storm about the eaves when he relented and began one of his yarns. I don't think they called them yarns in other places, but to Idlewinders, every story is connected, just as every Idlewinder is connected. And they all tie together in ways that you can't always see. Even for those who leave the sea behind and dry off for decades in the mainland, that thread will always lead them back here to all of us. My grandfather had told me that again and again when he was younger. especially when Mother and I would worry about him being gone too long. He would just tug at some new braid he had found and tell us what he had discovered, but that nothing would ever keep him from coming back to us. Now here he is, 5 feet from me, and yet Cassandra has carried him farther away than I can ever reach. It was 2 days before the next one arrived. A gangly youth a couple years younger than me, with a face that had yet to find its symmetry. Eyes were a bit too far apart, with a large nose and a little line of a chin. I had seen him before in the market, trailing behind 3 sisters, if I wasn't mistaken. I think they called him Ewan, usually while entreating him to keep up and stop being distracted. Ma'am? Ewan did a proper little bow. Marcia. I spared a little smile. Not old enough for all of that. Are you here to speak with me? I held out hope that I would have my own visitor occasionally. He stood there a moment, kicking his feet together, clearly not knowing how this was really supposed to go. May I please, if you would... Can I... He fished around in his mouth to find the right words. This was common among the younger people. They get all inside their heads about the ceremony of the whole thing, that they try to make everything so formal. You have a memory that you think belongs to Elko? I interrupted. Yes, ma'am. I mean, Marcia. Then all you need to do is follow me. Have a seat and tell him your story. If it is his, he will let you know. Grandfather was already sat in his story chair, hunched over against the window. His breath was so shallow, I couldn't even see his chest rise underneath the thick blanket. And he did nothing to acknowledge us, even as I pulled a heavy chair over to sit opposite him. It was a long minute before I saw his eyes close in a slow blink, one lid heavier than the other as they fluttered open again. Elko, Captain Elko, the boy began. Elko Brule of the Twilight. This young man has a story that might belong to you. I gave Ewan a small pat on the shoulder before moving over to give him his moment. Yes, it started a couple of days ago. Me and my mates were tossing stones, and suddenly I heard it clear as anything. Cannons, you know, proper cannons, booming so loud I almost fell over. I couldn't just hear them either. I could smell them too and feel them in my bones. When I thought about it, I could see myself aboard a ship being rocked back and forth in a battle. When I talked to my mates, they said that you had been a captain and had fought your battles. Grandfather did not take his eyes off some far shore as the boy continued to talk. So is it yours then? Ewan reached forward and grabbed his hand, and I almost dropped the hot tea I had just retrieved. He reached forward with his other shaky hand to touch my grandfather's hair, eager to place his braid beside the other's. No! I shouted, placing the kettle down before yanking him back by the shoulders. Seeing the look of fear in the boy's awkward features, I caught myself before letting out the string of insults that came flowing like bile to the back of my throat. No. If the story had been his, he would have let you know. Lots of men have memories of cannons and boats, but you should try to remember more. The person who shares that story might be miles and miles away, but Cassandra willing, they will find their way to you when the tide is right. Ewan was crestfallen as his hands fell to his sides and he shambled towards the door like a boy who had been caught stealing pie. He shot me back an apologetic look before vanishing into the mist beyond our front door. A mixture of sadness, anger, and relief washed over me all at once, and I didn't really care for any of it. It was a long while before another visitor. It seemed to happen that way. Sometimes we would have 3 or 4 in a week, and then it could sometimes be as long as a year. Shared memories were what brought idle folk together, a bond all our own. Ever since Cassandra led Grandfather's mind away, the wind seemed to have seeded his memories all over the aisles. Probably it would not have been such a nuisance if Elko Brule hadn't been so damn famous. Most people that made it this far had some memory of blood or valor, but somehow it was the little ones that really stang. I had never met my grandmother, but one even younger than I could remember the smell of her hair and the way she would sing. But Cassandra was never fair. Cassandra just was. A trickster as old and cruel as time itself. At least that is what Grandfather had always said. The last knock came just as I was about to put Grandfather to bed. It sounded as loud as a gunshot in the still night, and I almost dropped the old man before I settled him back to his chair. Even with all the weight he had lost, he was still heavier than I, and I could feel my back twist in a way that promised pain in the morning. "What?" I shouted as I threw open the door and was greeted by a blast of cold air that cut right through my nightgown. "Are you Marcia Brule?" A woman stepped into the lamplight. Gray had just begun to dull her red hair, and hard living had stripped away the softness of youth from her cheeks. She weighed me with flat green eyes that betrayed nothing but stubborn indifference. "Marcia Ellicott. My mother took my father's name. But what business is that of yours?" "But you are the granddaughter of Elko Brule, captain of the Twilight?" My poor mood dropped into my gut, and for a moment I contemplated slamming the door in the woman's face. She was close enough, it might just flatten her beak of a nose. "Do you know what hour it is? I was just about to put him to bed. If you have two Skrell, Widow Bremer can put you up in a spare room for the night and you can come back in the morning." "I am afraid it won't wait that long." As if sensing my intent, the woman stepped in closer and braced an arm against the door. "Please." Her chapped lips cracked into a pained smile. "I have come a very long way." I was in no mood to be courteous, but something about the woman said that she would not take no for an answer. Glancing down at her belt, I saw the pistol at her hip and the well-worn handle of a dagger. "Just make it quick," I sighed and pulled the door out of her way. She gave me a swift nod of the head before locking eyes on my grandfather. I had put him down rather heavily in my haste, and he slumped down far in his chair, a once powerful man vanishing into the coiled-up mass of winter blankets. I moved to help prop him up, but the woman just held out her hand and I froze. It wasn't really a threat, but something about the way her eyes flashed stopped me dead in my tracks. "Elko Brule," the strange woman said in a whisper that filled the entire room, stepping forward so that she towered over his humbled form. "Captain of the Twilight and savior of Port Elena, I think I have something that belongs to you." My grandfather's pupils shifted almost unnoticeably, but as someone who had spent almost every waking moment with him for the last year and a half, I could see them spark into focus. I caught myself holding my breath and let it out silently with a slow sigh. Regaining my power of motion, I backed toward the cutting board and snuck the filthy knife from supper up my sleeve. If the woman saw me, she gave no indication. Instead, she pulled the chair I had been sitting on up to the very edge of the old armchair and straddled my grandfather's knee as she sat down, leaning forward so that she was barely more than a foot from his face. "My name is Anki. And that probably wouldn't mean anything to you even if you still had your mind. I am from Carlos, a name which you probably misplaced a long time ago. How could someone such as you be expected to remember so many places and so many faces? They probably crowded each other until your brain just couldn't handle them anymore and decided to dump out the lot. That is enough. We let you into our..." "Oh, girl." She shot me a look that told me with certainty that she knew exactly where the knife was hidden. "I will have my say no matter what you think of it. A braid is a braid, no matter how it connects us." She slid the dagger out from its sheath, and it sat on her thigh. I knew there was no way I could make it to her before she slit Grandfather's throat. "How does one mind keep it all straight? The ports, the people, the bars, the drinks, the dead men." She reached forward and pulled on one of Elko's braids. raising the wicked edge of the knife. She easily parted the length of hair from his head and tossed it to the ground beside the chair. I gasped before covering my mouth, and I could feel tears start to sting my eyes. Still, I was paralyzed for fear of what she would do if I took a step closer. I spent most of my life looking for you without even realizing it. The woman spoke in a calm voice as she took her time selecting individual braids and severing them with her dagger. I lost my father when I was young, leaving my mother and all my siblings to fend for ourselves. Carlos could be cruel, and we all had our ways of coping with the harsh reality, and father, he chose drink. Not as bad as some, mind you. He kept his work, and he never raised his hand to his family. We just took it for granted that when he would go out for the night, we would not see him back until morning, passed out in a corner and reeking of piss-poor beer. What does this have to... I interrupted. He knows where this is going, the woman hissed without looking up, pausing with a fresh braid between her fingers. So you see, even when he did not come home that night 45 years ago, we began searching the bars for him. When he wasn't at any of them, and it was clear he wasn't coming back, we all thought that he had just taken a bad spill with his brain pickled as it was. We mourned, and life became harder. But when the other dead rose, there wasn't much time to dwell on a single tragedy in light of so many. So for over 4 decades, I just accepted the fact that my father was a drunken idiot who fell into the sea when liquor got the better of him. At this point, the woman had shorn grandfather's head down to a single intact braid. Setting her knife back on her lap, she began to slowly unweave it with her calloused fingers. It was clear that those hands were not used to such delicate work, but she took her time about it. As she worked, I knew that she was watching me from the corner of her eye the whole time, almost daring me to try something. As much as I hated my father for his weakness, I fell prey to those same sipping demons over time. Imagine my surprise when, after a couple of drinks, after the warmth, but before things start to get blurry, I saw my father before me. Thought it was my memory playing tricks at first, but I never remembered my dad being afraid of me. He pleaded with me, begging and babbling with me not to cut him, and I thought this must be a nightmare. Until he called me Elko. Now, she seized the strand of hair in tight hands, and I saw my grandfather grit his teeth in pain and whimper. He said, "Please don't hurt me, Elko." But we weren't in the listening mood, were we? We were drunk, weren't we? And we were angry. Now, I know that I remember his name. But do you? Gil. The name barely escaped grandfather's lips, but it carried far enough in the tense silence. That one word confirmed the story of this vengeful woman, and my fingers went numb as my own knife hit the floor behind me. Anki began a quick, tight braid as she continued her story. Don't even remember what he did, but I do remember the feeling of my blade sliding between my father's ribs. I remember holding my hand over my father's mouth as his eyes bulged and the life poured out of him down my side and dripping down my boot. I remember carrying him to the side of the sea with some of my boys, who didn't even ask a single question as they threw him in. When the braid was done, Anki took a moment and reached back to add a braid to her own hair. Thank you, Captain, for your efforts at Port Elena and Fallen Dove. May Cassandra whisper sweet things to all the others who hold pieces of you. For the first time since entering our home, Anki looked directly at me. As she plunged the blade between my grandfather's ribs and stifled his cries with her hand, She challenged me with her eyes to feel the same rage that she did. Dared me to pick up the knife and do the same to her. But I was too stunned to move. When Elka went still for the last time, Anki stood up and looked down at the blood that covered her from her chest to her boots and walked calmly past me. Close enough that I could have cut her if the blade had still been in my hand. But instead, I ran to my grandfather and held him tightly. He wasn't breathing anymore and felt like an empty weight in my hands. I heard it then. Clear as anything in the night. Story time! Story time! And felt small hands on my leg. Looking down, I saw my own chubby face beaming upwards, and I put up a mock fight as the child pushed me to the big chair. Tears hot on my cheeks, I pulled out that tight knotted braid that Anki had given Elko, and took my time reworking the strands. It was the only one left, the only one they would see when they came to take him away. And it would tie us together long after the fire took him away forever. Cassandra's kiss, deeper than blood, and longer than time.
I hope you've enjoyed tonight's episode of Low Fire Tales. Since we fell behind on our planned story schedule, we'll be releasing several more tales as we gear up for Season 2, Strange Venoms. If you like what you're hearing, please search us out on social media and support the cause on Patreon.